Yep. Yeah. I noticed them over here quite a while ago. Yo, Book of Revelation. All right. Need your glasses?
I love the smell up here. It's beautiful. Wow.
Yes. Beautiful flowers. Just what we need for mothers. Oh, yeah? Aw. Okay. Bought them out, and that's all they had. Oh, my. Circle K? Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yes. So, Sunday morning, happy Mother's Day. Yes, wonderful. Yes, and once again, we're looking at the book of Revelation this morning, but let me share with you very quickly information up there. I'm a full-time evangelist, and this extended project being here at Florence has been very exciting. I've really enjoyed it, and it's been a blessing, and it's, Lord willing, help you folks till you find a pastor, and that's what the goal was. And so next Sunday, I'm going to be from Saturday till Wednesday in Pontiac, Illinois, for the Come Conference. And we've got about 13 other evangelists and families that travel full time overseas as well as here in the States. And then from there, I'll be preaching at the church there in Pontiac that next Sunday. And then the following Sunday, I'm in Pierston, Indiana. And that is the town where my brother-in-law and Jane's parents live. And so I'll be preaching in two different churches there. And then from there, I come back here to Arizona, where I'll be here in Florence for Vacation Bible School. The next week, I'm at Berean Baptist Church. Following week after that is Elliott Road Baptist Church. Then I head over to, oh, I got to remember it. Arkansas. There we go. Arkansas. Be in Arkansas for a week and then head up to Minnesota. Had to shift my gears a little bit. And then up to Minnesota, where I'll be for four Vacation Bible Schools up there. And so pray for me and the many miles. And I'm praying, or every year we pray, that we will see 100 young people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and one family in each one of the churches join the church as well as Vacation Bible School. Their children trust the Lord as their Savior. They see a difference in their life, and they say, "Hey, let's go find out what's happening at that Baptist church over there, and we want to get involved." And so, Lord willing, we'll see one family in each church. So that's our prayer. So if you pray for me that way, that would be wonderful. And if you're interested in our schedule, you could find that at our website at silcottministries.com. I have our schedule on there, our previous prayer letter. I'm going to be putting a new one up there pretty soon. And then an email address, TJ Silcott, the T for Timothy, the J for Jane. And then home cell phone is Jane's cell phone. And then the office cell phone is mine. And then our address here in Florence, Arizona. Yesterday, I picked up some support. We got some more support as a result of reaching out. And thank the Lord for that. And you also know absolutely nothing has happened in our lives here recently. Other than we drove up to Prescott, we went to Shepherd Chevrolet, and a Christian man there who attends the church. What's that? Lamb. I'm sorry, Lamb Chevrolet. Lamb Chevrolet. In fact, there's a picture of the lamb on the front window of our truck. Anyway, there's one of the men at the church. He attends the church. Yeah, he attends the church there in Prescott Valley. Called Open Door Baptist Church. I've told you about that, and that's one of our supporting churches. And we purchased a truck from him, and I got information back from the insurance because you contact insurance to make sure everything's covered. And insurance put down the price of this truck twice what I paid for. And so that is pretty awesome. He gave us a really, really good deal. And I've contacted other friends to make sure that this was reasonable, and they said yes. And thank the Lord for it. It has 40,000 miles on it. It's a 2018, and it has a diesel in it. And so it's a driving machine. And so God provided that, and that's what I wanted, something basically for traveling and to be my home. And so traveling from church to church. So pray for me, especially this summer. I got a very busy summer, and looking forward to the first Vacation Bible School of the summer, which is right here in Florence. And so looking forward to that, and get to see Pastor and Sicarios and here in the ministry, and see what God is doing. It's very, very exciting. So I want to go back. Let's go real quick. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, it says this: the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Shortly, in other words, quickly, is not very long. And he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Very quickly, we want to look at the timeline. You see the church there. Church, and that's where we are now. Of course, the pictures that we show, there are seven churches. Laodicea is one of them that is pictured there in the book of Revelation. And one day, Christ is going to return. I just realized I need to put this lapel mic on because I'm moving all around here. There we go. Put new batteries on this the other day. Yes. There we go.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I think I got it now. Thank you, Dana. All right. Turn that off before moving it. So here we have the church age, and when Christ returned 2,021 years ago, and Christ is going to return very soon. The first advent within the rapture, the local church, he's coming for us, and looking forward to that day when he returns, the rapture of the church, and the translation of the living saints, as well as the resurrection of the church age saints. It's all going to take place right there, where we meet him in the air, and that could happen at any time. Christ could return today, and that would be exciting. So Lord Jesus, come even so quickly. And then, of course, whoops, I keep going the wrong way. We got the return of the Jews to Israel, and we see that even today, and the revelation of the false Christ and false prophet when the Antichrist is revealed, the sealing of the 144,000, the judgment seat of Christ is going to take place in the clouds when we're with him in the air, and then Antichrist makes a covenant with Israel right there at the beginning of the tribulation. So when the covenant of Israel is made, the tribulation begins. So there's a preparation period. We don't know how long it's going to be. It could be very short. It could be 3 months, 6 months, could be a year. But we know that there's going to be a period of time there. And then when Antichrist signs that treaty with Israel, the tribulation there begins. And we have Elijah returns to earth right there at the beginning of the tribulation. And then the battle of Gog and Magog. That's the first one. The second one's going to occur right at the end of the tribulation. Antichrist breaks his covenant. And then the two witnesses begin ministry. And Satan is cast out of heaven to earth. Right there when the treaty with Israel is broken. The great tribulation. And Satan persecutes the Israel, and then Israel finds a refuge in Ammon and Moab and Edom, Ammon, Jordan. And the two witnesses ascend to heaven. The campaign of Armageddon then begins. And the marriage of the Lamb. And then Christ returns with us. The angels preach the gospel there at the end. And the resurrection of the Old Testament saints here at the end of the tribulation. Right there at the Mount of Olives. And then, of course, we have the Antichrist and false prophet cast into the lake of fire. And Satan is bound for 1,000 years. And the judgment of the Gentiles judgment seat of Christ, or the, excuse me, the great white throne. And then the millennial kingdom begins 75 days after Christ's return in Daniel 12, 12. And the marriage supper of the Lamb takes place because Christ comes with us, representing the church, his bride, and Jerusalem is the spiritual and political capital of the world. When Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning, the second battle of Gog and Magog takes place at the end of the millennium, and the great white throne judgment, when everybody comes together and judge, and then creation of new heaven and a new earth, and last of all, new Jerusalem descends from heaven. And then we have eternity. You got to watch real close because it gets bright. See that? Just a real quick. I got to keep going back and forth in order for everybody to see it. There you go. You catch that? Goes bold. I wanted something a little bit more spectacular, but I didn't take the time to do so. So anyway, that's a real quick chart. And there's a printed out. I handed it out before. We can get some more copies of that if you'd like some copies of that so that you can keep that and use that. And it gives you a really good picture of the book of Revelation and what takes place. All right, this is the view, or the beginning, where Christ says that the Holy Spirit is used of God to pen the words from John. He's walking amongst the seven churches. We got seven churches on the coast and seven pastors in his hands. Alpha and Omega, eyes of flame and fire and hair white as snow. And then up here in the upper left-hand corner, Christ returning for his church. Then we have the church of Laodicea. He didn't take a picture of all of them because of the room. But the church of Laodicea, blind, lukewarm, Christ knocking at the door. And this certainly reminds us of today, isn't it? As Christ knocks at the door, seeking to save and to be a part of the individual's life, but they choose to reject it. And then, of course, Christ says, I will build my church. Even in the midst of families broken up, the family being destroyed, family under attack, and the church under attack, what a insult is this man's looking over the door at him and not opening the door, and a man blind, naked, can't see, asking for alms, and Christ has the answer. He will build his church. Then we have the view of the rapture from heaven as Christ, the trumpet sounds and the church is extended up. We got pictures of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John with the eagle and the lion and the ox and the man and Jesus holding the scroll with the seals on it. Then we have the seven seals here that are open. Got the four horsemen, the scale, the Antichrist coming and defeating through mental means and not by war. The next one is war, destroying those who have who stand up against the one world government. And the blue horse, the man with the scale, going into famine and woe, and the pale horse at the end, referring to death, destruction, and then the Ark of the Covenant with people bowing before, many people die or killed, and then the sun, moon, and star, all the destruction. And boy, you know, I hate to be here at that time when Antichrist is coming in and destroying. You got the ten nations represented by the ten toes at the end, that the image of King Nebuchadnezzar. Then we have the trumpets with the hail and fire and stone and a mountain falling into the earth, a third of the waters destroyed, and that keeps getting worse as it goes. Everything being destroyed, and then the fresh water, and then we have coming out of the Euphrates River, you got the beast coming out with a tail that stings, and stings those who do not represent Christ or know him at all. We got the stars falling in the sun, and then we have that little bit of a reprieve. Oh, you got the four angels that were bound, that were released, and then we got the little reprieve with the two messengers and the one, the angel holding the rod, and then you have John eating of the scroll, and he eats it, and it's sweet. And you know how the word of God is sweet? Psalm 119, I think it's 108. Dana mentioned that in his Bible study this week, about the word of God is sweet. but his judgment, and sometimes it's kind of bitter. It's bitter. We're fighting against the old nature and sin, and it's bitter, but his ways are sweet as we choose to follow him and live for him. And then we have, of course, the Antichrist, as the angels in heaven proclaim that Christ is going to take over, that he is the Lamb of God, and Antichrist shaking his fist at God with a little trump card in his sleeve, trying one more attempt to overcome evil. And then, of course, we've got chapter 12. First of all, chapter 12 deals with the Antichrist, and chapter 13 deals with Satan, and then chapter 14 deals with Christ, the Lamb of God. You've got the Israel, the woman, standing there on the moon, and the Antichrist Satan is there to devour the infant, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how Christ is going to sit on his throne, extend up into heaven, and then you have the woman fleeing into the wilderness because Antichrist and what he's going to do. The next picture, of course, is Christ defeating the devil, casting him down to earth, and the Lamb of God that has taken away the sins of the world. And then this one here is, once again, Israel fleeing into the wilderness. He pushes a wall of water to destroy him, and, of course, he has his tail wrapped around the 10 nations of the world, all together in one goal to destroy Israel. That little spot right there in the world, to destroy it. And that's what God says is going to happen. And that's exactly what's happening. It's exactly what's happening as Satan is working toward destroying Israel, because he knows, Scripture says in Matthew, that Christ at the Lord's Supper, he said, "You will not see me again until you call me Lord." And so I think that Satan is trying to destroy Israel so they can't call him Lord. If he can destroy him, then Christ's not going to return. And so that's his goal, to destroy Israel. And of course, we have the Antichrist here, 666. And we got the Trinity. Satan just loves to mock what God has, dealing with the Trinity. And so he decided to make his own Trinity. Satan, Antichrist, and the false prophet. And he's trying to make his own. And he is Satan there with all the strings. He's controlling everything. And then you have the false prophet up there. He's putting his two fingers up. That's not for peace, or maybe it is peace, but it's basically for victory, that he's going to win, that he's going to be victorious. And then, of course, we have the seven kings representing the seven nations. 8, 9, 10, the three are not there because Satan has, or Antichrist has overcome them. He's overthrew them because they would not follow him, the one world government. All right, then this one here, got the sickle, the Lamb of God, and I think that one there, let's see, which one is this? This one is Revelation 14, verses 1 through 20. We are looking at, today, the final vials or bowls, and that's chapter 15. This is chapter 14. There we go. We covered this one already. Yeah, we're in chapter 15 next. This is the sickle that Jesus is harvesting. Oh, it's there. Yeah, it's this one right here. He's got a sickle in his hand, and he's harvesting wheat, and this one here has a sickle in his hand, harvesting wheat. And the guy up there, he's throwing the wheat around, trying to separate the chaff from the wheat. And it's referring to Babylon. Fallen is Babylon. Babylon, the harlot, representing the harlot. And, I think we covered this one, didn't we? Yeah. Yep. Yep, so we're in chapter 15, Revelation and chapter 15. There are 8 verses. And basically, some of them are very similar to the other, the trumpets and the seals. It just gets worse as you're going along here. All the bowls and the boils and the man there reaching up trying to, because he can't swim because the ocean is blood, and the girl there can't drink because the water, the fresh water, is blood and boils and anguish and pain and death, and Euphrates is going to dry up. The purpose for the Euphrates drying up is so that all the nations in the east can come and converge on Israel, Iraq, Iran, China. Let's look at chapter 15, verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels having 7 last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, which is 666, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. Only the Lord is holy. Only he is the one to worship. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened, and the 7 angels came out of the temple, having the 7 plagues, clothed in pure and white linen. So pure white linen, they have wings, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the 4 beasts gave unto the 7 angels 7 golden vials full of the wrath of God. So these are bowls, but there in verse 7 they call them vials. I like calling them vials because then it's alphabetical. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the 7 plagues of the 7 angels were fulfilled. So here's John up in heaven, and the angels come, and they're going to bring the last 7 plagues upon the earth. And they are terrible. Verse 16, or chapter 16. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the 7 angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Do I have my pointing device here? So those all who had the mark of the beast, right here they have boils. So he's pouring out his judgment on them, and they have boils from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. I was wondering if there was the mark 666 on his forehead or forehand, but I don't see it. But that's the first vial right here. And you would think that they would catch on and realize, hey, you know, this is the judgment of God and that we need to repent. But yet their hearts become harder and harder and harder, just like Pharaoh in Egypt, not willing to listen, not willing to respond. Their hearts are just hard, and you see it in the world today, too. a world that their hearts are hard and not responding to the word of God. And you certainly see that men today, they call what is good bad and what is bad good. And it's just all messed up. Just all messed up. And so the second angel, verse 3, and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And that's the second one right here. So he pours out into the sea, and it turns to blood, and everybody in the sea, all the fish life, and everybody in this guy here, he's struggling to be able to swim. It's kind of hard to swim in blood. It's just not an easy thing to do. And he's about to die there in the ocean as God places all these plagues on the earth. And then the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. So that's number 4. This is the third one. 1, 2, 3. And here she is. She can't drink because she picks up the water and it's blood. Even the fresh water is gone. They become thirsty, can't swim in the ocean, and the ocean's being destroyed. And then what's the next one here? That was 3, it's 3rd. Let's look at 4. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be. So here we have an angel crying out, You are righteous, O Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is righteous, which art. He always was, He always will be. And it says, which art and which was and shall be. He shall be eternal. He's eternal in the past, eternal in the future, because thou hast judged thus. And they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. So these are the judgments of God. God is trying to get a hold of their attention, and they're not listening. They're not listening. God is just like he did with Israel when they're in the wilderness, turned their back upon God. God sent judgments, trying to get, trying to get a hold of their attention, spanking them and trying to get a hold of their attention, and they're not listening. And so all three of these, boils and the ocean turning to blood and the fresh water to blood, they can't drink. And the angels are saying, you are righteous. Your judgments are right. You're trying to get a hold of their attention. We need to heed, need to listen to what God's word has to say and respond to it, not to reject it. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. So this is the fourth one with fire. So here's this one right here, fire coming from heaven to scorch them with fire. I know the sun, and that might have some of it might be the sun is so hot, and some believe that the sun's going to be so hot that vehicles will explode, and it's going to be incredible. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And so they're just in rebellion and anger and refusing to respond to God and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Their hearts are so hardened and choose to reject. Israel, again, because of their sin, we have the 70th week of Daniel when God is dealing with Israel and with man and trying to get a hold of their attention. And the fifth angel, here's the fifth one right here. All that darkness, there's a man here with boils and a throne here. And let's find out what that one is. This one here is the fifth one. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. So the fifth angel poured out this vial upon the seat of the beast and his kingdom. So here's the throne room of the beast. And it becomes darkness and pain and anguish upon them. Probably darkness that they can cut with a knife. They can't see. Here's this man reaching out, trying to find his way with boils and sores and so much pain and so much anguish. And once again, I can honestly say, I'm glad I'm not going to be here. God is getting a hold of their attention. And I saw three unclean spirits. Okay, here we got to look at the six. We're on six, right? One, two, three, four, five. Yep, now six. Number six, this is the Euphrates River. This is the one where, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. And the water, therefore, was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. So verse 12, we're now in verse 13 is next. But here's the Euphrates River. It dries up so that the kings of the east can come. And that's China, Iran, Iraq. They can come and they can try to, did you hear that? Try to defeat Israel and the armies of God. And we're going to be there. We're going to be there because we're going to return with Christ on horses. And, you know, like I said before, somewhere along the line, I'm going to have to learn to ride a horse. Now, if it is horsepower in a truck, I'm okay with that. But I have a problem with riding a horse. Yeah, I rode a horse into Petra, but there was a guy leading it by the rope. I thought, man, this is kind of... Yes, I did. I did ride a horse in Yellowstone. So the last time I rode a horse, I did not fall off. I forgot about that one. Yeah. There you go. That would work. Yes. So here's the Euphrates River. And got all those countries in the east verging on Israel to destroy them. And I saw, here we go, verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. Oh, here's the cried upon the ways of the kings of the east. Okay, might be prepared. Okay, this is the 13. This is kind of like a commercial in the middle. Here's another commercial in the middle before we come to the seventh plague. So here's the commercial in the middle. We got a beast. And this one here, you know, Satan is pictured different ways, a dragon, a snake. This one's kind of like a little more like a snake with a dragon head, because we really don't know what he's going to look like or how he's going to appear. He never tells the truth, and we don't really know what he looks like. And I saw three unclean. Whoops. Let's see. Where am I? Verse. Oh, my wife's calling me. What? Oh, on the other screen also? Sure. Okay. Boils. And here's the guy trying to swim in the blood. And here's the fresh water. A young lady trying to get a drink from the fresh water, but in her hand is blood. And then we have the man standing here with heat of flames coming. And a picture of the sun. And how hot it's going to be. Some believe that it's possibly going to be so hot that vehicles explode. And then darkness upon the throne of the beast. And everyone in boils and pain and anguish. The next one comes up. And we got the Euphrates River that's all dried up. So that all the kings of the east can come. And try to defeat Israel. And I'm trying to figure out what verse I'm on. I'm verse 14, right? And they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. So verse 14 in the kind of the commercial is they're preparing the way and for all these nations to come and try to defeat Israel. It's kind of a, by the way, this is happening over here kind of a thing. And behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. So it's a battle of Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial. So that was the commercial. So preparing the way, getting ready. You got the frogs coming out of the mouth of Satan, the beast, and and the boils, and we got all kinds of symbols here. We got a guy with a symbol here. It looks like a peace symbol, and it's got all the different marks of the different nations that are going to try to come and defeat. All right. And the seventh angel, verse 17, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." Do you remember when Christ on the cross said, "It is finished"? It is finished. So the battle of Armageddon comes, and Christ comes with his church and defeats and wins the battle of Armageddon. And the Lord said, "It is done." He is conquering. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, and such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. That's verse 18. So we got this huge, the Lord is coming, the seventh, the final and last vial, and a huge earthquake, and everything being destroyed and wiped out. And we got it is finished right here as Christ returns to rule and reign in the earth for 1,000 years. It is done. I don't know why I keep losing my verse when I turn away here. See, where are we? Verse 19. Okay. And so great and earth. Yep, verse 19. What was that, Dana? I need to put a little sticker on here so I can. Yep, 19. Thank you. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. So this huge earthquake is going to topple everything. Everything's going to be destroyed. And what I find to be very interesting is that at the end, when all these earthquakes occur, all the mountains disappear. Everything is going to be flat. They're going to be gone. They won't be able to find them, nor islands. Look at it. It shares with us here, verse 20, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. I think the earth is going to go back to similar to what it was during Adam and Eve's time, when the earth was flatter, the mountains weren't so high, the seasons weren't so severe, and the mountains are going to be gone, the valleys are going to be gone. And I think during the millennial reign of Christ, we're not going to have any earthquakes. There's not going to be any volcanoes. There's not going to be any of those things because everything's going to be gone. All the valleys are going to be filled in. All the places that were hot spots and Yellowstone, if you want to go see the hot spots of Yellowstone, you better go now because during the millennium, they're going to be gone. There's not going to be anything like that. It's all going to be basically, it's going to look like Iowa. No mountains. It's going to be as, I say that Iowa is so flat. I say that Iowa is so flat that you could stand on one side of the Iowa and you could see the other side. I mean, it's so flat. That's why they, during a hunting season, they only have shotgun season. Because if you shot a rifle at one side, it would go all the way to the other side before it did anything. That's right. You hit somebody in Illinois, yeah, or Nebraska, whichever way you're shooting. Yeah, so anyway, I love picking on Iowa. What did she say? corn grown, yes. Yes, yeah. So during this earthquake, everything's going to disappear. Everything's going to be gone, and then we're going to have the millennial reign of Christ. Yes, powerful study. I still have 2 more pages to go, but that's okay. We're done. Now we're at chapter 17, right? Yes. So very, very powerful, very interesting to see the book of Revelation and what is going to happen at the end. Let's look real quick at these pictures. Here's Babylon the Great that's going to fall in the next chapter. And 666, he's going to be destroyed. Everything's going to fall. Babylon the Great, all the money. Money is going to fail and going to have quite a, the stock market's going to fall. The power of our God, hallelujah, when Christ returns. There's the battle of Armageddon, Gog and Magog, flesh being eaten, and animals, the sickle. Yeah, and the birds coming and devouring. But then the millennial reign of Christ. We've got a young man here playing with a snake, and you know, Pastor Sicarios, he can play with a snake now. He'll be able to hold them and play with them. Yep. And then they have the right over here, the weapons being turned into tools of harvest, and the coyote and the lamb sitting together. Yep. You know, often you hear in the world about the lion and the lamb together. I think, isn't there a song, the lion and the lamb? What's that? What's the lion going to eat? Grass. Grass. Yep, yep. Look at the coyote. He's eating grass. Well, actually, that is perfect for chewing grass. Yeah, they say their teeth actually are better for chewing grass. So yeah, here's the. But I was trying to tell you that there's the song about the lion and the lamb. But nowhere in Scripture does it put the lion with the lamb. You know, obviously it is going to happen. The lion and the lamb will be able to lie down together. But nowhere in Scripture it always refers to the wolf and the lamb together. Young man with the snake is in his hand. Yeah. Ah. Yep. Yep. Then this one here is the earth being destroyed, and during the great white throne judgment, and all those individuals are cast into hell, and we've got all kinds of Mussolini and Hitler. I think Hitler is one of these, and all the different. This guy's the one who started evolution, and so it's got all these different people there cast into hell. And then the judgment. What's that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, Pelosi, there you go. Yep, and here's someone standing before the great white throne judgment, and her name is not found in the book of life. And here's Satan and false prophet and Antichrist all entering into the lake of fire. But then eternity, there's the symbol of eternity forever and ever, where we'll spend eternity with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes. And here's the rapture of the local church, and on man's point of view, from what we see, instead of from heaven at the beginning. Now it's man's point of view, the rapture and those that will be raptured out. And it looks like this young man right here is not going anywhere, because he never trusted Christ as a Savior. Yep. There it is. Oh. Yep. Yep. All right. Very good. Yes, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. And wish that we could cover a little bit more at the end. But we thank you so much for the time that we have had and the opportunity to study your word. Father, I pray that it's been a blessing and encouragement, uplifting to each one of us, realizing that, yes, our Savior is in control. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We pray for those who do not know Christ, and maybe the study of the book of Revelation will encourage us to be more actively involved in the lives of those who've chosen to reject the Savior. Because their time here on earth is going to be miserable. It's going to be disastrous. And those who are still here on earth, their hearts will only get harder. They will not respond. They will not respond to the truth of your word. Father, work in hearts today of our loved ones, our friends, those who we love, those who we want to share. And sometimes it's so hard to share with them. And sometimes they don't want to listen or heed your word. But Father, I pray that somewhere or another that the Holy Spirit can work in hearts in ways that we cannot, that our friends and loved ones will respond before it's too late. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, you can get up, stretch a little bit, get a drink, but don't go anywhere. There's still more to come. Yes. Sure.